Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Anthony Geist, Professor of Spanish and Comparative Literature at the University of Washington in Seattle. His field of research concerns art and literature of the Spanish Civil War, and he published a photo essay of the Seattle area Lincoln Brigade veterans, co-authored with the Spanish photojournalist Jose Moreno, called Passing the Torch, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and its Legacy of Hope. Anthony Geist is the vice chair of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anthony Geist.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to be here.
And you're just back from Spain, and although you're certainly not an economist, I don't think you have to be an economist to feel the pain of the average working Spaniard and middle-class Spaniard who's feeling the pinch now. They just had to go accept a really hideous dose of austerity, and now the bond markets are pounding the Spanish debt. It's reached a euro high record of 7.57% in terms of the cost of borrowing, which is unsustainable. What's your sense of how the people are going to endure this in Spain?
Well, you know, it was palpable on the streets. I just got back 2 days ago. And you can see it, you can feel it, in talking with people, you hear it. There's a kind of quiet desperation. There are lots of closed businesses, empty shop windows in increasing numbers. People still go out. This was July. July and August are the big vacation months in Spain, and the restaurants were not full, particularly at night. I mean, some of the traditional spots in the south, in Cádiz, where I was, where you used to have to wait an hour for a table, we were able to walk right in and get a table. So there's that, that people are not spending. People either don't have money or they're not willing to spend what they do have. Sales tax has just gone up. The IVA has gone up from value-added tax to 21%, which I think is having the opposite effect. Rather than generating revenue for the state, it's actually discouraging people from spending. So I would say that there is, for the first time this trip, I've noticed a kind of generalized sense of desperation.
And the region of Catalonia, which of course is very significant in the work that you've done on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in the Spanish
Correct.
Civil War, they have requested an emergency help from the government. This conservative government is probably, my instincts tell me, they're not favorably disposed to Catalonia?
No, there's been centuries-old tensions between Madrid and Catalonia, between Castile and Catalonia. And that continues to today. It's linguistic, it's cultural, it's a feeling on the streets as well. However, the state is going to have to bail out Catalonia. Somebody's going to have to bail, probably Germany. The EU is going to have to bail out Spain. It's gotten absolutely unsustainable. I don't know if you've seen today's news. There's huge forest fires in Catalonia right now, which have caused several deaths. And a number of people feel that the fact that these forest fires are so intense and out of control has to do with the cutbacks that they've experienced in public services, in police force, in firefighters, and in the people who take care of the national parks and forests. The maintenance has been neglected and deferred, and so the forest fires correspondingly much fiercer.
Well, that's the nature of and mechanism of austerity, isn't it? You know, the municipalities, the cities, the towns are the ones that suffer. The state and local budgets suffer. We've seen here in the state of California the cutbacks in education, the cutbacks in services, the cutbacks in the courts that are just, you know, you can't get your day in court anymore in California. You have to wait for years. This seems to be a global pattern that the powerful financial institutions get off scot-free, whereas the, you know, the citizens and the cities and the municipalities and the states get squeezed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly so. And there's an increasing sense of that in Spain. I just coincidentally got a long email from a very close friend of mine in Granada just yesterday, saying that he teaches at the University of Granada, and he was scheduled to have an early retirement. The state negotiated with him a golden handshake. He's 62. He was looking forward to that. He had, in fact, already celebrated. It was supposed to start September 30th. They've rescinded that. As a consequence, you know, he will have to continue working, but his salary has been cut 30%. In the last 2 years. As a consequence, he has to move out of Granada, out of his apartment in Granada, to an outlying village where the rent is much cheaper. And he reports that that people in general are totally discouraged and disenchanted with both political parties, both the Socialists and with the Popular Party. And he feels that the welfare state that's been built up over the last 40 years since the death of Franco, and even under beginning under Franco, is being eroded, and the democracy also is being eroded. So it's a kind of bleak outlook.
Again, let me remind the audience, I'm speaking with Anthony Geister, who's a professor of Spanish and comparative literature at the University of Washington in Seattle. You mentioned that the Spanish democracy itself is in trouble, that the social safety net is being shredded. That seems to be happening throughout a lot of European countries, starting with austerity in England and France. And, of course, Greece is largely falling off the cliff at the moment, and Spain and Italy. Is the elite in Europe dictating this? Is there a subtext here that in order to compete in the global economy with, you know, workers in Sri Lanka, we all have to take a hit? It's not never been stated, but I can't help but feel that there is something going on here.
Well, that's a really interesting question, Ian, actually. You know, there were such great hopes put on the euro economy 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And that this economic crisis has really thrown the euro into disarray, and people are questioning it. There's talk of certain countries abandoning the euro, going back to their national currencies. I don't know if that's likely to happen. It would not be difficult to see this. The austerity measures, the cutbacks, the rolling back the unions, as a certainly a tactic that favors the financial institutions at the very least. Maybe taking it a step further, it's a way of creating cheaper labor so that the European Union can compete with outsourcing to the developing countries. But you know, that's really, I don't think that's Europe's strength, is cheap labor. I think Europe's strength is in manufacturing and agriculture. Spain is still very largely an agricultural powerhouse in many ways. But it is, something is going on. That seems to me that that's clear. Exactly what it is, I don't know.
Well, then let's turn to the democracy itself in Spain. Of course, there is a very painful history there of the Spanish Civil War, which was a precursor to World War II, which the fascists won. Franco was absolutely brutal in retribution. Hundreds of thousands were killed and disappeared. And there was an attempt by a very colorful Spanish judge, Garzón, to have a kind of truth and reconciliation. And then the old establishment went after him. And now he's in trouble. There's certainly no movement on that part. Now you have a conservative government. You said that the average Spaniard, it's a plague on both their houses. They're fed up with the socialists and the conservatives. Right. But tell us about the kind of political DNA of the country, with its unresolved divisions here and the extent to which recently, when the recent round of austerity was imposed, you saw a lot of miners in the streets. You get a feeling that there's a combustible mix there and a lot of anger and a lot of distrust of the old conservative elite and the military in that country.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Spain is, you know, is still a deeply divided country. The Spanish Civil War, which was ended 80 years ago, is still in many ways an open wound in the country. You mentioned Judge Garzón, who was removed from office precisely because of his attempt to authorize the opening of the and the exhumations of the mass graves. There are over 115,000 people, victims of the Spanish Civil War, most of them victims of Franco violence, who are still lying in unmarked graves. And their families want to unearth them and give them a decent burial and close that wound. Garzón, of course, was removed from office because of this. So, you know, these in many ways, these are the memory wars. The Popular Party, the Partido Popular, is in many ways understood as the heir to the Franco regime. You know, it's now a couple of generations past. But an interesting thing has happened in the last 20 or 25 years, and that is Spain, which is a parliamentary system, has become increasingly a bipartite system. There's a conservative party and the socialist party. And smaller opposition parties really have disappeared. And I think that is, you know, a significant difference in a parliamentary system when it becomes dominated by two parties who alternate in power. That said, compared with the American electoral system, you do not have to be a millionaire to get elected prime minister in Spain, unlike what we see happening in the United States right now.
Well, I recall just anecdotally, Anthony Geist, that in the mid-1960s, I was in Barcelona and I went into a bookstore, and this is when Franco was still in power. And I went into a bookstore and a group of young fascists came in and attacked the owner and threw black ink all over the shelves that contained copies of Jean-Paul Sartre's writing and other considered subversive writers. And I must say, I was very young at the time, but I saw the face of fascism and it was scary as hell.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a strong recollection of that still in Spain today. Part of the problem, you know, recently is that Zapatero, the socialist prime minister, the previous prime minister, was hit with this huge economic recession, and the construction bubble burst in Spain, and he was blamed for it, much the way that Obama has been blamed for the turn the economy has taken in the United States, which I think is unfair. I think they could perhaps both be faulted for not having a more vigorous response to the situation. But it can't be laid at their feet. And nonetheless, Zapatero's response to the economic situation was very, very weak, and I think people were very disappointed with that. And as a consequence, the Popular Party won overwhelmingly throughout the country, both in national and municipal elections. And people, of course, have become immediately disenchanted with Rajoy and his inability to do anything effective with regards to the recession and the cutbacks and austerity measures. There are a number of people who feel really that what is needed is a vigorous stimulus package rather than austerity, that in order to get money in circulation, you have to spend money. I tend to agree with that.
Well, just to return to the big picture, if you will, Anthony Geist, again, professor of Spanish and comparative literature at the University of Washington in Seattle, three countries, Spain, Italy, and France, seem to be somewhat coming together to sort of gang up on Germany. Germany, of course, is holding fast to demanding austerity and German politicians are afraid that direct capital injections into struggling banks, as they recently did in Spain, and large interventions in the bond market, that they don't want to mutualize the EU debt. They want Spain to be responsible for its debt and therefore force it into making more concessions. And you wonder how much more blood you can get out of that stone. It's not realistic on the part of the Germans to expect this method of being the kind of stern teacher, if you will, is not working. And this thing continues.
It's having the opposite effect, actually. Yeah.
Right. And France's foreign minister have called for a firewall for Spain. And then the Spanish budget minister suggested the European Central Bank should act more like the U.S. Fed. All of these are welcome pronouncements, but you don't feel that there's a connection between what these leaders are saying and the reality of whether anything's getting done about it. And I must say, this has been going on for over 2 years now.
Yes, it's been going on for a long time. The situation has gotten worse and worse, the situation on the street in Spain. Unemployment is just rampant. The latest figures I've heard is that 45 or 50% of people between the ages of 18 and 35 have never had their first job, never had a job at all. And in that age group, the unemployment is again around 50%. There's been a brain drain. Any Spaniard, well, any qualified young Spaniard who is not tied down by family is looking for opportunities elsewhere outside the country. And it's going to be a heavy price to pay. Angela Merkel, by the way, is sort of universally despised and scorned in Spain for her hard-nosed, hard line on the austerity.
Well, you know, in part, the Bankia, the real estate bank that went bust and dragged down the rest of the economy. You can't blame the Germans, but the Germans were the customers for these second homes that were being built and were overbuilt, right?
So they're way overbuilt. We may have mentioned this at some point in the past, but there are over a million new unoccupied apartments in Spain today. A million. It's an astonishing figure. There was a totally irresponsible development and building policies with junk mortgages and easy credit and so forth. So it's been, and that's what we're paying the price for.
Sure. Now. Well, we saw that movie too here in the United States. I think in many ways we invented that.
Yes, that's right.
Well,
that's exactly right, and exported it. Yeah.
Right. Well, Anthony Geist, I thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you bet, Ian. Thanks so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Anthony Geist, who's a professor of Spanish and comparative literature at the University of Washington in Seattle. His field of research concerns art and literature of the Spanish Civil War, and he published a photo essay of the Seattle area Lincoln Brigade veterans, co-authored with Spanish photojournalist Jose Moreno, called Passing the Torch, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and its Legacy of Hope. And Anthony Geist is the vice chair of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by half.